this morning. The reason we did the series title Move is just this thought that God is always moving, but also that we need to move. We need to move in response to that. And last week we talked about reaching people far away from God and the move that we need to make to be the invitation and reach out to others. Today I want to talk about the move we need to make to follow Jesus and be disciples. And that somebody said great on the front row. I think it really is great. Just going to move my prop. You might not be able to see this in Stocksbridge or Sheffield, but you'll see it in a second. Move my prop. Because how you learn something really matters. How you learn something really matters. Now, I'm a huge fan, and I love a particular game. It's the hardest game in the world. It's the game of golf. Does anybody else love the game of golf? I think I'm a hacker. There's some great golfers in Icon Church, some really good golfers actually in Icon Church, but I'm a bit of a hacker, and I've been a hacker for like 40 years plus at golf. And because how you learn something really matters. And I learned golf on the school field with my mates. We took the school field over. We actually dug, like, I think it was 7 holes around the school field. We have our little 7-hole golf course around the school field. We made sure we had a hole that was just near the long jump bunkers, just over the back, so that we could do that. And so at 13 years of age, that's how I learnt golf with my mates. All I had was a 7-iron. This is a 52 degree wedge. There you go. I've lost some of you already, haven't I, in terms of that. But I want to tell you, this game is hard. I actually brought some plastic balls that I was just going to hit out into the crowd today, but I left them in Jeannie's car. This game's hard because you think that this game is just about a club and a ball and hitting it straight. But I want to tell you, there's a million things going on in the game of golf. Is my grip right? Is my stance right? Is my turn right? People are saying no already on the front row. Is my turn right? Is my follow through right? Am I hitting the ball right? Let me tell you a story. I love golf so much, I decided Jeannie should learn to play golf because a round of golf takes 4 hours. So I took Jeannie, I thought she can learn golf the way I learned golf. So I took her on the school field, took her with a club and some balls, and Jeannie was swinging. Do you know what we did first of all? This is going to be a long message because all this is coming back to me. What we did first of all, we had to go to the golf shop. She had to get a kit. So she got socks with bobbles on, pom-pom socks. She got new white shoes. She got a nice polo, ladies' golf shirt polo. She was kitted out. All the gear, no idea. And we took her and go, and she was trying to hit this ball, and she found out how hard this game is. Just practicing my golf swing. That's all I'm doing this morning. There you go. That was a better shot than the other two. The other two were air shots. She was practicing, and I said to her, so Jeannie was doing this. Are you enjoying this, by the way, Stocksbridge? Jeannie was doing this. And I said to her, Jeannie, you have to follow through. And so she did that and hit me on the head. Literally with the edge of the golf club. I walked home immediately. And that was Jeannie's one and only excursion into trying to play golf. Ah, she's not too disappointed. How you learn something really matters. I'll keep this story going for a little bit because I developed some problems in golf. I developed a slice. So my ball would set off and then it would end up over there. Any other golfers develop slices? And I decided I would go and have a look on YouTube how to fix that in recent years, and maybe it's getting slightly better. But years and years ago, I decided every professional golfer's got a coach. So I need to go and have a coach and have some lessons. And so I went to have some golf lessons and he got me to hit a few balls. You can tell I'm enjoying this, can't you? He got me to hit a few balls and I hit a few balls. And he videoed me, the camera was there. And then he showed me the video and he could stop it at every frame. And so he played the video. He said, everything to there is perfect. Now we've got to change everything else. That means the turn has got to change. Oh, I never went back. Which means I've never really got that much better at golf, because how you learn something really matters. How you learn Christianity really matters. You can learn Christianity and it just be a religion. You can go to church, that's good. You can read your Bible, that's good. You can pray, that's good. But to learn Christianity the right way, we need a coach. And his name is Jesus. You got to learn Christianity from Jesus. And maybe he's saying to you today, everything to here is good, but we're going to fix the rest. Let me encourage you, don't be like me, go back. You know, we are experiencing right now so many changes in our world, aren't we? So much disruption, so many things have changed rapidly in our world. But as we said last week, one thing remains the same. Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11 and verse 13 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know about you, but I'm glad about that. I'm glad about that. And he hasn't changed. And that means his purpose, his mission to reach people, and his purpose for us has not changed. Over 2,000 years, he's not changed his mind. He's not thought, well, that was a good idea back then. I'm not sure 2023, that's going to fly. No, his purpose, his mission, his desire is still the same. Let's read about it. Mark 16 and verse 16, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to all creation. That has not changed. And then in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. His purpose for us, being followers, disciples, learners, has not changed. We are part of the greatest movement on the planet. A movement that carries at its heart this message of reconciliation between men and God, this message of forgiveness, but also this message that gives people purpose. And I believe that our purpose and our joy will not be found in anything other than joining Jesus in his mission. We look for to so many places for fulfillment, so many things for enjoyment. I love golf, but I have cannot find my purpose in golf, I'll tell you. It's not going to happen there. I love so many things, but our purpose is joining Jesus in his mission to reach others and to be a disciple. So let me ask you, when you said yes to Jesus, what do you think happened? What do you think happened? Well, maybe you think my sins were forgiven. That happened. It did. You're absolutely right. Maybe you think, here's what happened, Paul. I got eternal life. That actually I'm alive now and I know Jesus now, but I'll know him for all eternity. You're absolutely right. That's true. Maybe you think, here's something that happened. Not many Christians think like this today, and it's a mistake for them not to think like this. When I said yes to Jesus, I became part of a family called the church. Many Christians think when they say yes to Jesus, it's just about them, but it's not. You're part of a family, the church, and you're right. But here's what I think Jesus thinks happened when you said yes. Great. Now we're on a journey. a journey of transformation, a journey with the purpose of being like me, a journey of apprenticeship where we spend time together and you become like me. You start to do what I do. It's called discipleship. That's what Jesus thinks happened when you said yes to him. Last week I talked about the difference between an idol and an icon. And an idol, we said last week, says, look at me, and feed me, give me everything. You know, whatever that idol is, a person, a football team, music, sex, power, whatever, it says, feed me, give me everything, and now give me more. How much can I take from you? But an icon points to something greater than itself, something or someone greater. An icon says, don't look at me, look at that. Look through me and see this. It's why we're called Icon Church. That where our mission is to say, don't just look at us, but look through us and see something greater and someone greater and give your life to that person of Jesus. And I want us to do that continually for each other. Look at Jesus, man. Look at him. He won't eat you alive. He'll give you life. And our goal is that people see through us and see him. And that's your goal, because to be a disciple is to be an icon, someone who by their life points people to Jesus. I've met so many people and asked them the question, how did you become a Christian? And they'll say, do you know, there was this person at work. There was something different about them. They invited me to church maybe, or they invited me to an event. But because there was something different and I wanted to know what it was, I went with them. So many times there's somebody in somebody's world. There was something different. There was something unique about them. I remember a person, saying to me, like, you've got so much joy. You've got so much joy. You've got more joy than, you know, like other people, anyone else I know. I don't think I've got that much joy. But they saw something and they wanted to know what was the source of that joy. I had a friend who knocked on the door of a church where he was working. And the pastor opened the door of the church and he said, do you know Paul Benger? And the pastor said, yes, I do, actually. I know him. It happened to be a ground level church, which, you know, you can think is coincidence. I happen to think it's God that he knocked on this church. And he said, do you know Paul Benger? And he said, yeah, I do know Paul Benger. He said, he's got something I've not got. I want to know what it is and I want it in my life. You see, that's an icon. A disciple points people to something greater. So how do we become disciples? How do we? Well, very simply, we accept the invitation to apprentice under Jesus. We accept the invitation to apprentice. That's the best way I could think of to phrase it this morning. You see, Jesus was a first century rabbi. And the word rabbi has all the meaning that we need, really, but we don't use the word. And so I've replaced rabbi with apprentice. But the problem, if I use the word rabbi, we think of teacher. We think of teacher, and then we think that we are a student. And when we think of students in the years that we're in 2023, when we think of a student, we think of somebody sat in a classroom taking notes, so that they can do an exam and answer some questions. But Jesus is not interested in you being able to answer some questions. He wants to change our lives. He wants to change our lives. If you don't understand the Trinity, it's okay. But if you love Jesus, that's what he's after, and you follow him. Commenting on first century culture and the difference between a student and a disciple, Raymond van der Laan said this: a student in the first century wanted to know what their rabbi knew, but a disciple wanted to be who their rabbi was. That's the difference. So we're not students today. We don't have a teacher that is going to give us information that we need to absorb so that we can finish an exam. No. We have got a God, a Savior, Jesus, a rabbi, who is giving us an invitation to become like me. and learn my way. An invitation to live like he would if he were you. Here it is. There's the invitation. It's in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens." Let's just pause there for a bit. Isn't that our world at this moment? Isn't this how our world feels? Isn't this sometimes how we feel in the church? We're weary, we're tired, we're carrying heavy burdens. And so Jesus says, I don't want you to sit in a classroom and learn a few things. Just come to me. Come to me. You're in the right place today. All you are weary and carrying, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is life. The word yoke, back then, first century, was that thing that was put on animals to keep them walking straight and in the right way. And when a rabbi said, take my yoke, the rabbi said, follow my way of life. It's a way of life. And here we learn, as we read these verses, something important. Jesus' invitation is so much greater than just believe something. Yeah. It's so much greater than just know something. It's so much more exciting. It's let's go on a journey and see where this journey could take us. I don't know about you. I want the exciting Christian life. I don't want to be the boring, miserable Christian. I want the exciting Christian life, don't you? Jesus' invitation is so much greater than just learn a few things. It's, I am with you. Come to me. I am with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be with you in every situation. It's take my yoke upon you because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Jesus says this, learn from me. Learn from me. It's important how we learn something. And Jesus says, learn from me. Sometimes when we learn Christianity just hacking around the field, so to speak, when we're just hacking around the field, we find religion, but we don't find relationship. Sometimes we find duty and we find guilt and we find shame because we find religion and we don't find Jesus. But Jesus' invitation is come and follow me and come to me. And his invitation is, let's have a relationship. Let's go on a journey. Let's read those verses from the Message translation. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. There's a promise there. Somebody in this room, somebody in Stocksbridge, somebody in Chevy, you need to take that promise away. God is going to recover. Yeah. You feel there's been, I'm prophesying now, you feel there's been some stuff lost. It's going to be recovered in Jesus' name. I declare it today. You'll recover your life. I'll show you, he says, how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Don't you just love that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me tell you another problem with my golf swing, because you seem to be enjoying that more than anything else. Is you watch all these YouTube videos, and they say, you need to strike the ball from the inside. Like you're confused already. And so you get stiff because you're thinking, I've got to get to this right position. I've got to pull down on the inside. Now I'm swaying. That's wrong. I shouldn't be doing that. And you just get all caught up in these rules and regulations. But a good golf swing, which I watch a good golfer swing, is effortless. Thanks, Ben, the only one clapping. How much do you know about golf, Ben? Absolutely nothing. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. But Jesus says, I want you to live free. Light. I don't want this to be a burden, a heavy burden. I don't want you to be thinking at every point, am I in the right position? Am I doing the right thing? Should I be? I don't want you to be second guessing. I want you to live freely. And I want you to live lightly. I want you to live with joy. I want you to live with happiness. I want you to live with a spring in your step, a bounce. That's how I want you to live. So his invitation is, how would he live if he were you? How would he live if he was me? That's Jesus. The way of Jesus is that, a way of living, a way of thinking, a way of being. It's no, there's no potion or miracle cure in being a Christian. It's a way. And when you find the way, you find life. And if you follow, you follow the way, you find life. I should have gone back to that coach, shouldn't I? I should have gone back and I should have learned how to swing properly and how to spring freely. And I think if God is saying anything to us today, it's come to me and learn from me. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And the invitation of Jesus is for you and I to live our lives around three basic goals. Be with him. Relationship. Become like him. And learn to do what he would do if he were us. It's an invitation to discover a new way to live life, to carry responsibility, to live. And why does this matter? Because Jesus said, if you come to me, I'll give you rest. I'll show you how to find real rest. And I don't think we're going to find it anywhere else. I don't think our world is going to find it anywhere else. Augustine in 397 to 400 AD wrote a book, and in that book he said this, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Let me tell you, our world is lost. It's confused and it has no hope, without hope. Have you noticed how problems escalate in our world quickly? And the experts tell us what the problems are, and the expert in the fields tell us why we have those problems. And then they tell us and they pontificate about the answers, but the problems keep increasing. Have you noticed that happening in our world? Because our world does not have the answer. Jesus is the answer for our world today. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think, you know, I want to warn us this morning. I want to warn us that our world will not agree with us. Our world will not agree with us. In fact, they strongly oppose this view. Jesus is dismissed. Faith, your faith, our faith, what we're doing today in our churches is completely dismissed. It's not seen as positive. It's seen as discriminatory, dangerous. And if our goal is to be loved by the world, we will face problems. But the way of Jesus is the answer. Tom Holland, who says he is not a Christian, he's a historian. He wrote a book called Dominion. And he tells us how Christianity has shaped the West, and the values that we now believe to be good in the West have been shaped by Christianity. But he goes on to say that there's an increasing number in the West today that have abandoned the faith of their forefathers, and they are dismissing all religion as pointless superstition. And yet, he says, everything that is good in our Western mindset has come from Christianity. This is a person who's not a follower of Jesus. The way of Jesus is the answer. So remember, Jesus was a first century carpenter and then a rabbi. He's not a 21st century parent, accountant, student, golfer. He's not that. And so the question is, if he were you, how would he parent? If he was married to Jeannie, how would he do that? With difficulty. No, I'm joking. I know you all love Jeannie. It's a cheap laugh. It's a cheap joke. If he was an architect, how would he design? I don't know if you've noticed on things like Instagram and Facebook that sometimes they'll put up a picture of, I saw one recently, I think it was Genoa, I might have the city wrong, Genoa railway station built 1920, and it was architecturally beautiful. Genoa railway station built 2020, and it's a box. You know, if he was an architect, how would he design? What kind of a church member would Jesus be? A good one. How would he pray? Would he be baptized? Well, he was baptized, so the answer is yes. So let me encourage you, if you're a follower of Jesus in any of our campuses and you've not been baptized, follow Jesus. Do it his way. Be baptized. What would he prioritize in his life? How would he live out his relationship? And that's so important. How would he view other people? Because I want to tell you, it is so easy to find faults in people. Because even the best people are flawed. So I read that this week somewhere, and so I wrote in my notes, you can look for faults or you can look for gold. You choose. You can look for faults or you can look for gold. Let me skip down to this quote. Someone wrote this. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, I have come to give you life and life to the full, life more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. You have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. So in closing, how will we apply this message? Very simple. Go back to the coach. I'm enjoying this too much. Sorry. Indulge me. Go back to the coach. And when the coach says to you, everything's perfect to there, but we need to change everything else, let him transform you. Let his word transform you. He's not going to lay anything ill-fitting on you. He's not going to lay anything heavy on you. Remember, he wants you to live freely. And he wants you to live lightly. I enjoy having a golf club in my hand too much. And if we approach our faith like I approach my golf, my way, relying on myself to figure it out, YouTube videos galore, then we're not a Christian. We're actually something else. Our faith could be humanism with a bit of Jesus, like I can do it. I can do this Christian thing. No, we have to go back to Jesus, the coach. That you see, the greatest need of our generation is to know that we don't know. We don't have the answers. We need a savior. We need God. Because our best efforts are failing. They're failing. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Remember this phrase, take my yoke, my way of living, my way of being, my way of doing upon you, and learn from me. How does the message put it? Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Spend time with Jesus. Become like Jesus. Do what Jesus did. And you may think today, well, that's just for some special people. Or you might think that's today how I want to live. And I hope we all think like that. And the final thing I want us to consider is this. And we've already begun to consider it. Is it possible just by my own effort? Am I able in my own strength to get the answers, to bear his image, to become like him? If I muster up all my willpower and energy and intellect, if I can pull all of that together, will I be able to live as a true disciple? And the answer is an emphatic no. You will come short. You need to go to the coach. And that's why Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. And he says this, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. So are we hungry for that power? The band can come back because I'm going to close in a second. Are you hungry for that transformation? That fire that burns and causes us to live freely and lightly and to live a life of purpose? Do you realize that there's no hope outside of Jesus? I heard about a church recently. It's a church, they're friends of ours, it's in Norwich, and they wanted to put a sign up. They're building a new building, they wanted to put a big sign up, and the sign was going to say, Jesus, hope of the world. And the council approved it on the original plans. But they're getting close to the opening. I think the opening's March next year. And the council have come back to them and said, no, it's offensive. You're not allowed to put that sign up. You can't put a sign up saying Jesus is the hope of the world because it's offensive. But it's true. Do you realize there's no hope outside of Jesus? Perhaps you've got great faith in human ingenuity and you think our intellect and our wisdom will fix things. But the Bible is absolutely clear. Acts 4 and verse 12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst mortals by which we must be saved. There's no other way of salvation. Jesus is the answer. And we need to come to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit, because how you learn a thing really matters. How we learn our Christianity really matters. Maybe you've made your own faith up. I'm inviting you to come to Jesus. And we as a church created some resources. There's a website. It's very simple. It's called followjesus.uk. But there are some resources to help you come to Jesus and find Jesus and follow him. And there's resources about learning to pray, to read scripture and hearing God's voice. There's resources about us gathering as a church and worshiping. Resources around playing our part and discovering our purpose. And resources around building relationships. How you learn a thing really matters. I'm going back to the coach. I'm going back to Jesus. And I'm saying to him today, and I'm praying, teach me the unforced rhythms of grace. Let me find the rest you promised for my soul. Let me come to you, because you won't lay anything ill-fitting or heavy upon me. You will cause me to live freely. And you will cause me to live lightly and to have joy. I'm coming back to the coach. Let's all stand. I'm going to pray and then hand back to Nathan, who's just going to lead us in our final moments. Maybe you're saying today in Sheffield or in Stocksbridge, here in Chesterfield, me too, Paul. I've made that decision to follow Jesus. But I realize I need to lean into him and come back to him. I need to have that fire rekindled in my heart, that passion. I need to know again that freedom of living for him. I need to experience again that infilling of the Holy Spirit that gives that inner fire. Well, as I pray in these moments, and as we close out this service and worship, let the Holy Spirit touch you. Let the Holy Spirit come upon you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Make the decision to go back to the coach, because how you learn a thing really matters. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you call us to reach people with the message of Jesus. But you also call us to be people who in the depths of our beings are being reached and touched and changed and transformed by the message. And so we are coming simply to you today, Lord Jesus, and we're coming back to our Savior, our Lord, our King. And we are giving you our lives again. We are surrendering our hearts and our lives to you. And we're saying, fill us afresh. Fill us afresh right now in the stillness, in the quietness, in this moment. Fill us afresh in all of our campuses, in Stocksbridge, Lord, in Sheffield, in Chesterfield, right from the back to the front, from side to side. Touch every heart, every life, every mind. May we walk out of here free. If people have come in with heavy burdens today, I lift them off In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness in our lives. Be filled with the Spirit in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Thank you so much.